All right. Well, let's pray and get started. Father, thank you for this evening. We thank you for the time to be here together and worship together and study your word together and support one another and be there for one another. So thank you for this time. We pray that we're able to hear from your word and be moved and led and guided by you and follow your leading. We look to you through your word and through your spirit speaking to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, new month, new topic. And the topic is hospitality. So I'm actually really excited about this topic an unusual or maybe a different reason than you'd normally be excited about a topic. I want to tell you a story first. This was a while back, but there was a pastor who came to our church for a few months. And I think most, if not everybody, maybe 95% of people didn't know that he was a pastor because he was just coming through. And we were just going to be his church for a few months until he moved on. And so we never really got ramped up in him serving in ministry. And he was just a part of our church. He served a little bit and fellowshiped with us and attended here and worshiped with us. But I don't think anybody knew he was a pastor, just a guy coming to our church. And when he left, me and him had a couple meetings throughout because he had a lot of experience being a pastor. And so we were just kind of talking about the ministry. And when he left, we did like a final meeting together where we talked about the church now that he got to know us. And we talked about his plans for ministry and our church. And his feedback for us, there was a lot of things he loved about our church, all the things that you guys know of. He loved the ministries that we do. He loved that we teach from the Bible. He loved how welcoming and friendly everybody is. And how it was really easy to come to the church and be welcomed in and be a part of the church and all of that. His one piece of feedback, though, and he said he wasn't upset at all. This was just like constructive, helpful. This was just his experience. And he said, in all these months I've been here, not one person invited me to lunch or to dinner or to coffee or to their house or anything. Like, people were super friendly and welcoming here when I came, but nobody connected with me on like a deeper level and like built a relationship outside the church. And I thought that was really good feedback. And that is this topic of hospitality. And so the reason why I'm excited is that a lot of times we study scripture, we're studying things that we know really well or we're good at and we're like refining and getting better in the Lord, or there's things that are like a conviction that the Lord calls us out on or any number of those things. A lot of times we're studying those types of topics. But for this month, we get to study a topic where it's not like we're being called out by God, like we're all living in sin or something like that. It's just something that I think if we honestly reflected, we could say that our church isn't, like, this isn't one of our church's strengths. And I would say honestly to you guys that this isn't one of my personal strengths or giftings either. And so getting to study this topic as a church in an area that we have room to grow in, and then the Lord can encourage us and kind of show us how to grow in ways that will probably be uncomfortable to us, I think that's super exciting. And that's, I think it's a cool opportunity. I don't think we get to study topics like this very often. And so I'm pumped that we get to go through the word and we get to like honestly reflect on how we could adjust our approach to each other and the community and grow in this area. So I think it's going to be super fun. So for today, we're just going to do a soft intro to the topic. We're basically going to talk about what hospitality is, and we're going to read a bunch of verses from the Old Testament and New Testament to just get a survey of what the Bible teaches on the topic. The Bible actually teaches a ton on this topic. There is a ton of commandments for us to be hospitable and encouragement in scripture for us to be hospitable. There's tons of examples, good examples and bad examples, to instruct us on this topic. And I think for some reason, the church in general doesn't teach this topic very often or thoroughly or well. And so there's tons of material that we won't even get to in the month that we're doing this. You could survey the whole Bible and find either examples or commands of hospitality throughout the entire thing. So just for today, we're going to grab 10 verses from the Old Testament and 10 verses from the New Testament and just look at those. But first, I wanted to set the stage of what hospitality is, just so we know what we're talking about, and then we'll go cover the verses. We'll review what hospitality is now that we went through the verses, and then we'll discuss it together. Sound good? Great. So what is hospitality? I did a little who, what, where, when, why, and how for us to understand the topic. So who are we supposed to be hospitable to? And these are the different groups that are mentioned often throughout Scripture. So strangers is definitely the number one group mentioned, people that we don't know at all. There's mentioned that we should be hospitable to, or people that we're first meeting, or sojourners, travelers. Those in need, those who need care and need some help in this way. The lost, meaning like unbelievers or people who are emotionally lost. Even our enemies, this one I almost like put an asterisk by because we're called to be hospitable to our enemies in the sense of loving our enemies as ourselves, but we're not called to be hospitable to our enemies in the sense of condoning evil or letting people harm the innocent. And so we'll get into that later. Our neighbors, we're supposed to be hospitable to our neighbors. And then a special category is fellow believers. As much as we're supposed to be hospitable to everybody else, we're supposed to have a special type of hospitality, a family style hospitality with our fellow believers, and especially those that we're in a church context with. So that's who we're supposed to be hospitable to. The next is what. What is hospitality itself? Well, hospitality is using your home to invite people in and stay and be with you. Using your time, spending time with people, using your resources to care for people, and your energy to care for others. Home is probably the most common uses of hospitality, like invite people into your home and have a meal together, or have them spend the night, or that kind of a thing. Give them like a place to stay, but then spending time with them and resources and energy are all part of it. Who, what, where? Where should you be hospitable? Wherever you are. The Bible kind of pictures like if you're walking down the street and an opportunity presents itself to be hospitable, take that opportunity. Or if the opportunity comes to your house, like invite the person in type of a thing. Wherever there's a need, wherever you have the means, that's where. And very closely associated with where is when. Also, whenever there's an opportunity, whenever the need arises. And beyond that, not just opportunistically, which is like when you're met with the situation, you're supposed to be hospitable, but also you're supposed to go seek out opportunities to be hospitable as well. Who, what, where, when, why? Why should we be hospitable? First off, for general care, like a humanitarian effort toward others around us, caring for people. Another aspect is justice, ensuring that people aren't taken advantage of, or that people who were taken advantage of can be cared for. Another is compassion, just helping those who are less fortunate or have less. Another one, big one, is evangelism. And this is something that will apply to our church a ton as we're thinking about the Great Commission as a church. But we're like one of the forms of evangelism is hospitality, reaching out to bringing the community into our houses and our churches. Fellowship, that's like the interpersonal relationships with each other. We deepen our relationships with each other in the church. Fellowship is a Christian and Christian relationship. And And that is done through being hospitable with one another and discipleship. You raise other people up and other people raise you up and strengthen you in the Lord by being that close, by living and working together. So it's really important. And then finally, how? How are we hospitable? With selflessness, with sacrifice, humility, generosity, and servant-hearted love. That's how we approach people. And if we're interacting with other people like that, then we present ourselves hospitable to others. So that's just a simple what hospitality is. Maybe go back to the what question for me. You're just using your home, your time, your resources, your energy to help other people. Simple, right? Okay, now let's look at scripture verses. We'll go through 10 Old Testament verses. Just quickly read the verse, and I'll quickly explain how that relates to hospitality. The goal here isn't to deep dive into these topics. The goal is for you to get a sense of how broadly this topic is talked about in Scripture and how important Scripture thinks this topic is. So Genesis 18, Abraham hosts three strangers, which turn out to be the Lord and two angels. And he lifted his eyes up and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And he said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought, and I will bring a morsel of bread." He said, "Take a rest here and let me take care of you." And this is actually the time when the Lord tells him and his wife that they're going to have a baby in their old age. And his wife laughs at the Lord. That's that moment. It's like a pivotal moment in the history of the nation of Israel, with the promise of their children and their descendants. It starts from this moment where Abraham has the reflex to be hospitable to these strangers who turn out to be the Lord and angels. Genesis 19, Lot welcomes the angels into his home. And he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night." Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now, these passages in Genesis are really relevant to when we bring up a passage in Hebrews 13. So remember these scenarios where people were, Lot and Abraham were hospitable to strangers, and those turned out to be angels and the Lord. Exodus 22, "You shall not mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." So this is a command in the law for Israel to take care of strangers, not treat them poorly. Don't treat them as second-class citizens, even though they're not part of the nation of Israel. Treat them well. And you should know better because you were slaves and you were sojourners through Egypt and you were treated badly. And so don't treat other people the way that you were treated. Treat them better now that you know better. The New Testament echoes this for Christians, that you were once slaves to sin. You were once in the world and mistreated. You should know better than to mistreat others and make others a slave. Leviticus 19, you're commanded again to treat a stranger as a native. "If a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself." Now this is such a crazy thing for a Jewish person to hear, who's God's chosen people and who people around them have been out for blood their entire existence, out to kill them, and to tell them that you special people that are set apart and holy just for God and everybody else is trying to kill you, you person, love your neighbor as if they're part of you? That's crazy. That's like us being told, think of the people that you despise the most, the people that you disagree with the most, the people that have treated you poorly, and those are the type of people that you're supposed to love. Just hard, like, it's hard for us to even grasp. Deuteronomy 10, God loves the stranger and commands Israel to do the same. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger, giving food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. That's three different passages, and there's more, but in the law. In Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, all saying the same thing, that you should take care of the stranger. And this one adds, it broadens it to the widow and the orphan as well. You can see God's heart here, in that if you have the means, take care of those who don't have the means. Or if God is taking care of you, take care of the one who needs to be taken care of, or the one who nobody's looking after right now. Judges 19, peace be with you, it says. However, let all your needs be my responsibility. Only do not spend the night in the open square. So he brought them into his house and gave fodder to the donkeys, and they washed their feet and ate and drank. This is where an old man is offering hospitality to a Levite and his concubine. And later on in that story, something really bad happens to those guests. And so this both is an example of hospitality being something that we should strive to do, but also the necessary safety precautions in how we offer hospitality and what hospitality should be accomplishing. Hospitality should be keeping the person safe that we're taking care of, not putting them into danger. 1 Kings 17, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. And Elijah said to her, do not fear, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up. This is where a starving poor widow provides food for the prophet Elijah. So even in her even though she didn't have much, she used whatever she had to take care of the prophet. In 2 Kings 4, we have like the inverse of that situation. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. This is a wealthy and generous woman, in contrast to the poor woman. And this wealthy and generous woman builds a room for the prophet Elisha. So with Elijah, there was a poor woman taking care of him. With Elisha, there's this wealthy woman using what she had in her wealth. So whether you're poor or you're rich, you're still called to hospitality. Job is talking to the Lord about his own hospitality, saying, no sojourner had to lodge in the street, for I've opened my doors to the traveler. There was no commandment. There was no law for Job to follow. We know that Job was a righteous man. In his righteousness, he did what? He took care of the people that were going by. Isaiah 58, is this not the fast that I have chosen, to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him. This is Isaiah saying that true fasting and true worship is seen not just in religious gestures, but through actual hospitality and ensuring justice and ensuring provision for those without justice and provision. That true worship and true fasting would be using our resources and our time and our house and everything we have to take care of other people. That's the fruit of real worship and fasting. So, I mean, that was like barely touching the surface of the Old Testament, but I just wanted to pick out 10 good examples of hospitality in the Old Testament, just so you can see it's everywhere, and the Lord is very serious about it. Now let's look at 10 examples in the New Testament. Starting with Matthew 13, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind. This idea of hospitality is in the New Testament language, and in the Greek language, has this idea of like gathering together, like bringing in. That's the same language. And so a same word that you might translate as hospitality somewhere else is translated here as gathered of some of every kind. You can see the strategy of the kingdom of God is to be hospitable to every kind. And some of those that are caught in that hospitality become part of the kingdom of God themselves, and some of them don't. Some of them get cast out because they never come to faith themselves, but the evangelistic strategy is this movement of hospitality. Matthew 25, for I was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, I was a stranger and you took me in. That when we're acting hospitable, it's as if we're doing that to the Lord himself. because that's his ministry that he's enlisted us to. And so our acts of hospitality is an act of hospitality and worship to the Lord himself. Luke 10, this is the Good Samaritan. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, brought him to an inn and took care of him, gave the innkeeper 2 denarii, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. When the religious people walked by the person on the street in need because they didn't want to mess up their ministry the way they saw their ministry should be, this Samaritan, who the Jews would look down on, was the one to stop and take care of the person hurting on the side of the street, go above and beyond to get them a place to stay and pay for their well-being. Go above and beyond to take care of this person they didn't even know, they just found on the side of the street and went out of their way and ruined their day to help this person. Luke 14, when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. This is the idea that, like, if you throw a party or if you do something for someone else, we're all tempted to invite the people that we respect the most, or the people that have the highest social status in our case, or the people that we get along with the most and click with and enjoy being with the most. Those are the people we want to invite to our party, our friends. As Jesus is saying, invite the people that cannot do anything for you. Invite the people that have nothing to give to you. They're not good conversationalists. They're not going to talk about the things you want to talk about. They aren't fun. Invite the people who need it the most, who can't do anything for you, and your reward will be in heaven. Acts 16, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. This is Lydia, and so she is, after she's been ministered to by these missionaries, she ministers to them by taking care of them and be hospitable. It's a good picture of how the church should be. We're not going to minister to each other in the same ways. When one person's ministering to someone in one way, the other person should be ministering to in a different way. There is no hierarchy in the church where you just minister downward, like where whoever's the higher ranking person ministers to the other people. That's not how it works. We're all part of one body ministering to each other. So the way that one person ministers to another, the other person should be ministering back in some other way, in other capacity. Acts 20, now on the first day of the week when the disciples came together, that's that gathering together language of hospitality, to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. This is explaining the church function. This is a church service, explaining the church function in the context of hospitality, that we gathered together in hospitality, providing food and ministry to one another and care for each other all night long in this context, or in this verse. Romans 12, 13. The topic of this passage is behaving like, this is what it means to behave like a Christian. And one of the things mentioned is distributing to the needs of the saints given to hospitality. That we, to behave like a Christian to one another in the context of the church, that we would look at the people in the church and see what the needs are of the people of the church, and we would distribute our resources to the needs of the people in the church and take care of each other, be hospitable to one another. Now, this eighth example, I clumped together 3 different verses from Timothy and Titus because this is all like toward pastoral leadership. So the first verse is about like overseers, or you can think of them as like senior pastors. The last one is about like deacons, I think, and or other pastors. And the middle one is like leading women in your church, like leaders who are women in your church. And so in all these contexts of leaders in the church, it's talking about a bishop must be a bishop or overseer, must be blameless, hospitable, able to teach. That's a requirement to be a leader in the church. You must be hospitable. 1 Timothy 5:10 talks about the one that the type of women leaders that the church should support in their old age after they can't support themselves are the type of women leaders who were the ones supporting others already. They were the ones being hospitable, and now you're responsible to be hospitable back to them. Well reported for good works. If she has brought up children, she has lodged strangers, she has washed the saints' feet. That's what a good leader does. And then Titus 1:8, another qualification for being like an elder or a leader in the church is being hospitable, lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, and self-controlled. Hospitable, again, qualification for being a leader in the church. Example 9 is from Hebrews 13, which we're going to cover on Sunday, so I won't go into great detail about this, but this is just a section. The first part of that chapter is just a bunch of moral directions to the church, and it says, do not, one of those moral directions, this is a moral issue in line with other big moral issues that we would consider a big deal in the church. In the middle there, it says, do not forget to entertain strangers, to be hospitable. For by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. And that kind of relates back. That's why I said, remember back to that Genesis passage, how you've seen Abraham. Remember, Hebrews is teaching out of the Old Testament. So you've seen Abraham and Lot do the same thing before. You should treat everybody as if they could be an angel, even if they're clearly not an angel. Not because they are, but because that's how we should be treating each other, with hospitality. And 1 Peter 4, the topic of this passage is serving God in the last days, particularly in the context of the church. So this is how we serve each other in the church, is the passage. It says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. That should be a natural part of our church culture, is hospitality. And it shouldn't be, oh, I have to do this, or I don't want to do this. It should be, I can't wait to take care of someone in my church. I can't wait to provide. If God has given me something, you know, I want to provide it to others. So again, I want to show you the whole list of the who, what, where, when, why, and how for hospitality. I know it's small, so we can always go back to the zoomed in pictures. But you can see, just having this up here, you can see how this is all pulled from those passages and others from Scripture of what hospitality is and how we should be about it. And I think, you know, reading through all these passages, I don't read through those and go, you know, nailed it. I read through those and go, I have work to do in this area, and our church has work to do in this area, and this is hard. And I don't, like, this is something that myself and our church is going to have to work through in a good way. But that's kind of the initial intro to the topic. And so for our discussion today, I have a discussion question generally. I wanted us to talk about, or at least kick off the discussion, what hospitality, now that we've seen it in action in Scripture, what can that look like in our context? I will preface this, I referenced this a couple times, but next week we're going to actually look at the safety precautions around hospitality and how to be hospitable while still protecting ourselves and loved ones and the vulnerable. So we don't have to get into that specific aspect of this tonight. We can just focus on like what Scripture is actually calling us to do and how important it is, and what we can actually do. So with that being said, what do you guys think? What does hospitality look like in our context?
So one thing this church used to do for a period of, actually quite a long period of time, was
dinners for eight.
Was dinners for six or dinners for eight, yeah. And it was just volunteers who ever wanted to be on the list.
Yeah.
It is, you know, randomly group them together, and then that group would switch so that there was always new people, and you could have a dinner, a potluck essentially, at home, or some people chose to have a dinner at a restaurant or at a park, a potluck at a park or wherever.
Yeah.
You know, sometime during that month, and you got to know people that you may not have known in a more global way. You know, you learned about their family, where they come from, their testimony,
yeah,
their kids. I mean, so you get to know them in a deeper way than what you are able to do in at church.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good example. And something we, you know, can always think about bringing back or doing in some other various way. A similar vein of thought, as you know, is the communion fellowship, but that's for our whole church doing that together as well, and obviously geared toward the topic of communion and extending communion as well. So those like formal ministry events are good things for the church to have. One thing the church has to think about with formal events is balancing some events against others. And so when we're looking at like the weekly schedule, we think we have Sunday morning service, we have Wednesday morning coffee shop, we have Wednesday night service, we have one Saturday event every week, basically, whether that's the women's group or the outreach at Delta or the men's group or the seniors group. And then we have a handful of other small group Bible studies going on, and we have the worship team and jam session on Tuesday. And so you have to think, as we're planning things, you want to not plan too many formal events in the church to where they overlap and harm each other, or like take away from each other. And so you have to balance the amount of formal things you do as a church with the amount of informal things, that it's not like an official ministry, but it's like a cultural movement of the church, of like, this is just what we do with each other, unofficially, you know? Nobody's like telling us to do this. This is just how we operate as a group of people.
We've also been the meal trains.
Yeah.
Which,
that's another good example.
I'd like to see that kind of come back, but maybe get a little bit bigger. Not everybody needs food. You know, maybe they need something else.
Right. To this hospital or...
Yeah. Or whatever. I mean, we can...
It's a good idea.
Make that bigger, different or something.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, the global title to that was Calvary Cares. And during COVID, that expanded out in a lot of different ways, mostly in communication, in reaching out and emailing everybody who we had an email address for got tickled. It's how are you doing? What's up? Somebody's talking to everybody at least weekly, sometimes daily. Yeah. It was amazing. We became very, very much closer as a body during COVID, when a lot of churches were just blowing apart.
Yeah.
It was a surprise to me. I was astonished. It is just the work of the Spirit. And the desire of the, we did not lose one single member. And we grew during COVID, of all the things. It's amazing. You know, people were, I was just involved with the women's ministry, but people were just, of course it was desperate. Everybody was lonely, disoriented, frightened. So the whole country was affected. The whole world was affected, and the contact and the love and the edification that we gave our first women's Bible study was just a red letter study. We just took the words of Jesus and said, "How does this apply to you today? What are you hearing from God today about this?" It went crazy. People started adding on their friends to our Bible study. It was amazing. It was amazing.
Yep. Yep. So looking forward, you know, how else does hospitality look like in our context? Both in the church, it's relevant, and also individually, you know.
I think it has to do with an attitude first. That your attitude, as the scripture says, is not to look just to your own needs, but the needs of others. It's fundamental in the culture of church.
Yeah.
And it is not fundamental in our culture at large. And it's something that makes us really look different and feel different. And it makes some people who are outside very suspicious. Because who gives something for nothing anymore, you know, unless they're trying to cheat you or fish you or scam you or whatever they're trying to do. So I think it starts with that. I think it starts with, a series like this. I don't think I've ever encountered a whole series on hospitality, and I already identified two things that were really that's hospitality that weren't on my radar.
What are those?
It was justice and, oh gosh, you really put me on the spot here now. The other one was not the usual things. Oh gosh, you'd have to go back to that slide.
Yeah, well, back to the slide.
Justice is a good one.
Justice was, yeah, that really surprised me.
Because much of injustice, not every aspect of injustice, but a lot of injustice in society is... an abuse of those with less, with no one helping them out, or even people keeping them down. And so hospitality like solves that abuse and picks people up with no, not asking anything from them. You know, it's not because it's not us helping someone so that we get something back. It's altruistic. It's like helping them for the sake of helping them because it's right. Because that's what God calls us to, because that's consistent with God's character, because that's what God does with us.
It's that concept of informal sanctuary, of being a safe place, a safe person, someone who's in distress.
I'm curious, those of us who have grown up or spend significant time in a different country, if any of you would like to weigh in on hospitality, how it differs from the culture you grew up in or lived in, and like what lessons we can learn from that.
I do want to share a little bit of my testimony, Pastor, if that's okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So, as I don't know if everyone knows, but I'm from Nicaragua, and these people from Alaska went to Nicaragua to on a missions trip. And randomly, like after they left, they were there just for 1 week, and they invited me to go to Alaska, and it was like a follow-up for me. Because I felt, you know, like I wanted to seek the Lord after they left, but I think the impact that it had, they invited me to Alaska, you know, and spending time with them, I think that it made me grow. I grew in the Lord by, you know, those trips that I did. And then because of COVID, I couldn't leave. I was in Alaska for 2 years, and they really like adopted me as in their family, in their church. So I think that was a big impact in my spiritual life, you know, to be part of them. And it was like a very small group. Like it was the pastor, and I was living with the youth pastor. So it was like, I was very close with the pastor family, so I had room to grow too. So I, you know, in my life, hospitality, it meant so much for me because they invited me. And keep in mind that they didn't even know me. Like they just met me there for a week, and then they invited me to their house, and I was there like for over 2 years. That was a lot.
So yeah,
I am very
amazing.
Grateful for the growth that I had here.
And it impacted your walk with the Lord significantly. Yeah. So when I was at a farmer's market a few months ago, and there was the foreign exchange students had a booth there. And I think part of the foreign exchange program was that the students had to work this booth as part of the program. And the foreign exchange students were going up to every parent that they saw and were like, hey, do you want to be a part of the foreign exchange program? This is how much it's affected my life with my family that I've been placed with. Someone could be placed in your family as well. And like every family was kind of like, oh, that's nice, but not for me, and like walked away. And I was just watching them while we ate. I was watching that happen over and over again. And I think that is I see that happen a lot in our churches, that there's like some number of people, of Christians, who are particularly gifted in hospitality and they're bent that way and they do amazing things like what you just described. And then the rest of the church, including me, is like, oh, that's really nice. I'm really glad that happened, but I'm not going to do that. That's not for me. And, you know, it's not that every single one of us needs to go on a missions trip and bring somebody back with us, but every one of us is called to hospitality in some significant fashion with whoever the Lord puts in our path. Not everybody's going to be put in everybody's path. And so I want us to look at that not as, oh, that's a nice thing for other people to do, but think, how do I implement an equivalent thing, not that exact thing, but an equivalent thing in my actual life and home.
Also, when I met Eric, one of the things that I noticed and liked about him, it was he would give a ride to people. Like, because the church that we used to go to, it was really hard for people to come in. So I noticed that. I think you mentioned as well, where's the need? So I think that there's a lot of sometimes with transportation, and I saw that in Eric, like he would pick people up, like he would pick me up very far away, and he would do that for people, for a lot of people too.
Yeah. Eric, do you wanna, is there anything you wanna speak to about how the culture of churches and ministries that you've been a part of have demonstrated hospitality? Because I know some of them are strong in that area. You don't have to, but if there's just anything that came to mind.
There's a lot of people that are willing, right? And they want something different, right? One of the first things I said here is nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care, right? And so it's the hospitality, right? People want something different. And they're searching for it in all kinds of things, whether it's drugs or drinking or whatever, name the false new age, right? They're searching for it. And oftentimes it's our hospitality and our first step that brings them here.
Yeah.
You know, and if you allow them to make up an excuse, then they're gonna make it up, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, it's not a big deal, I can come pick you up, right? And it was instilled in me when I first became a believer, kind of like I was living, I used to be a drug addict, for those of you that don't know, and I was living in a sober living house that was not very good, right? That was more of a using house than a sober living house, right? And the pastor that I started with, my old pastor, I voiced this stuff to him, and it was part of my court order. I had to be at that house, right? And he started coming and picking me up every day at 8 o'clock. And I would go wherever he went. Sometimes we just drove around, did errands. Sometimes we just sit in his office and do nothing. But every day he picked me up at 8 o'clock, and every day he'd take me back home late at night. And I'd just go to sleep, I'd wake up, and I'd do it again in the morning. And so that was also instilled in me at a very young Christian age.
Yeah. You
know? And so I wanted to give that to other people also, because if I was left in that house without that exit, then I would probably got out.
Yeah.
It was literally right in the next bedroom, you know, and I'm trying to fight for my life, I'm trying to fight for something different, right? And that was the hand that helped me out of it. And so I just wanted to be that hand.
Yeah, that's an amazing example.
I have had an experience. I have quite a few Muslim friends. And one couple in particular, I don't know why people give me things, so when there's excessive fruits or foods or whatever, I just go around and I give them to people. Well, I saw them from afar. Hello, you know, the cordial hello, where we're going in and out of the place. After I brought them some fruit over, to them. The woman later, like, you know, a couple of days later, a week later, I can't recall the timing, but said, that we just want you to know that you're the only person that has come to us and knocked on our door and, you know, said hello and introduced yourself. But also, in their culture, that's what they do. They go and visit families and they'll take food and they'll take those. Then they sit and they discuss and talk and have fellowship and their manner over that. Now, I didn't know any of that. But we ended up becoming friends. Now they have a change to Christianity. They will call me for prayer. So it's, you know, they know there's something there. But it was by just sharing what the excess that I had been given. I didn't know anything about the culture. Well, after I found that, then I always had a place to, when people give me extra stuff to do it. But I think sometimes it doesn't have to be, you know, a planned thing. It's just being in fellowship and sharing, and having that Christian thought to, you know, share what you have, share the bounty that you have.
Yeah.
And it opened up doors. I mean, we're friends now, and, you know, she kind of considers me a grandma to her, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Maybe more like a great grandma, but, you know, a little let it go, grandma. But I just think there's opportunities sometimes we don't see. I fell into that. But after they said that, I realized that when I go to visit any of the friends, I'm going to take some kind of food, to take something that I leave there, because that's a gift to them. That's part of their culture and hospitality.
Yeah.
And there's someone in the hospital now, you know, that we're praying for, far, 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 far away from being saved, but women from the church are going to visit her, and these are all women that are very busy. They could just easily say, I don't have time to do it. But we are going, and we're talking, and the ice hasn't been cracked yet, but while God's got them in the hospital, thank you, Siri. So I just think there's little opportunities like that, just in being, you know, right. Oh my gosh. What a gift. There's so many, you'd be surprised, there's so many people that don't drive. Or maybe they can't drive. Now, I won't offer anybody a ride in my car because I scared the heck out of them. If they couldn't get out of the car, they might get in and not be able to get out.
That's fine. Been there.
But I think, I'm going to go back to our women's ministry. Whenever, we can't all feel all the needs that we hear about.
Yeah.
But whenever we hear them, we share them. And there's always somebody. Like, my gift isn't cooking, but I know people are. But Paula and I, if you hear somebody who needs help with cleaning or whatever, we love to go in and work, and, you know, we just love washing the windows and mopping the floors and doing all that stuff.
My house could use that every day.
I'll share that with
you. If you're offering.
I'll just give you a ride.
I'm not Betty Crocker or Martha Stewart at home, but I do love helping, and I love being, you know, doing things. I can see a beginning and end to a project. They're just knitting, you know.
Yeah.
We know somebody who needs food. We post that on the weather thing, and then we get people lined up to. Sometimes Karen does it, sometimes I do it, sometimes Paula does it, to take food when there's a crisis in the family. Sometimes we don't think about it. Instead of someone loses the loved one, they're not thinking about cooking. They don't have
right.
the time. They're mourning. They're cheering. They're recovering. So, you know. One little thing can be just make the difference in terms of them knowing that they are thought of and they're loved by Calvary and by the Calvary family.
Yeah, you can see how, I'm not sure we always think about it as this important, but you can see how hospitality is critical to people's well-being, critical to evangelism, and critical to discipleship or growing people in their faith. That was discipleship.
Discipleship. That was the second one. Justice and discipleship. Now the blanks are all filled in.
With the discipleship thing, I think Eric's example is better than was a great example. But like, just if you're just with a more mature Christian or a Christian who's walked with the Lord longer or is mature in their faith, and you're just living with them and serving with them and being with them and being cared for by them, you'll like be picking up what they're doing and how they're living and what serving looks like and learning scripture and growing closer to the Lord from them. And so all of us should be mentoring younger believers through hospitality to them, like bringing them along with us as much as possible.
Yeah, I know when I first became a believer, there was a couple gentlemen in the church did that. One guy took me under his wing, and it would have been real easy for me to just, okay, I went to church, I did, but I got my box checked and all that, and then just quit on it.
Right.
But he didn't let me.
Yeah.
He was every day contacting me and checking and inviting me to studies. And,
yeah.
And it was more or less because of him that I stuck with it. And I saw a picture that through his hospitality, I actually called him my Barnabas. You know? Because his hospitality is what actually kept me around and made me see the love of Christ a lot clearer.
Yeah, the church would have booted Paul if it wasn't for Barnabas standing up for him.
And I remember one study, Zeke called me on the carpet one day, and I'll never forget it.
I don't remember.
Yeah, you will. But we were going through a study, and it was something about the Holy Spirit, and I started talking about the Holy Spirit and all of doing these things, and I kept calling the Holy Spirit an it. And I think about after five or six times, I call it, you know, it, the Holy Spirit, and Zeke goes, you know what? The Holy Spirit is not an it, it's a he. And from
I can't imagine that tone from Zeke.
I don't think I had that tone.
But it wasn't an aggressive toner.
It was a Zeke tone.
It was a very loving, soothing, like, you know what? The Holy Spirit is a part of it. And the way he explained
Zeke
it.
Zeke would have, like, with a smile, he would have said, Holy Spirit's not an it, it's a he.
But
just like that.
In that sentence, that
no,
called,
but then he explained it, and it made sense. So yeah, right. You kind of cleared some clouds.
That's funny, some clouds, yeah. Are any last minute things that are really bothering you that we need to cover tonight? We'll have all month to cover stuff, but.
Well, I need to re-see the screen on Genesis 19:1-3. I didn't get a picture. I was sending this to someone.
I have a comment.
Yes.
A question. You're talking about culturally how it's different. And coming from a Hispanic background, mm-hmm. it's 1,000,000% different. Mm-hmm.
Tell us how.
So I grew up having family dinner twice a week. I grew up going to church, you know, regularly, and then we had dinners at other people's houses on a regular, everyday, you know, thing. And so,
yeah.
Not that I'm saying that when I got married to Rodney, it was a, whoa, you do things differently than I do. And it's not bad. I learned that there's boundaries, there are wonderful, beautiful boundaries as well, because I think we over worked ourselves and then we became fatigued in the Lord. So one way I see that you could become fatigued and say, hey, you know, I don't want to do this anymore, and it becomes more of a job instead of a hospitality mentality. But on the other hand, you know, the culture of I come Wednesdays and Sundays, and that's
mm-hmm.
enough.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where not that I have a hard time, but, you know, we were talking about it, oh, let's go out to lunch, but then we're like, oh, okay, we'll just say that, and then it never continues, because that's
oh,
the
yeah.
nice thing to say.
We'll so, say, yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I'll talk to you later, or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just the culture thing is
yeah.
a big difference.
I'll say this. That I've been at churches that are fake and are like just nice to your face but don't actually care about you. That's not our church at all. Our church genuinely cares about each other and genuinely wants to know about each other, genuinely prays for each other. And you can tell that with how much time we spend in fellowship before and after services and stuff. But then that's like mostly as far as, there's exceptions of course, but there, that's for the most part as far as it goes. And then we're like, all right, we're all going to go back to our own lives. And so I don't think that we're fake or that we don't care about each other at all.
I don't think we lack the love for each other.
Yeah.
I think we genuinely are concerned for each other.
Yeah.
I might have people say, I haven't seen you today, or I haven't seen you last Sunday. Are you okay? And I'm like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
You noticed I wasn't here. That I'm not saying. I just think, like you said, where do we move to the next step?
So here's my challenge then. Yeah. Flip this back around. So if you're someone through this topic, through the study, if you're someone who feels particularly gifted in this area, or at least more gifted than me, and if you are someone who has seen this done better elsewhere in different churches or in different cultures or whatever, I challenge you to help us as a church grow in this area by leading us in that direction. You take the initiative to grow us in that area by leading that initiative, because people who are inept, like myself, are not going to get us there. And we need a body, we're a body for a reason. Some of us are going to be stronger in different gifts than others. Those of you who have this gift or are a little bit stronger, who have seen it been done well, help lead us in that direction. Help change that culture.
I just want to say, Pastor, that you have to be very, go out of your way to do it. Sometimes, you're busy or you don't have the resources, financially, because sometimes, even going out with somebody to
cost money.
Cost money, you know. But sometimes it's not even like that. I think, living with the youth pastor that I told you, man, she goes out of her way and she works. She has three jobs. And she has no excuse. But on Thursday, she invites different people to eat at her house. You know, you need to go out of your way to do it. And you need to be consistent about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that the main thing is to see where is the need. You see people that they don't fellowship that much in the church. Okay, I'm going to invite this person, you know, because she really needs it. She feels alone. She's isolated.
Yeah. One sec. Ideally, I think... every person who walks in the door of our church, that they would be taken out to lunch and that a relationship outside of church would be starting to be built by someone at the church. Again, not a formal thing, that's just the culture of our church. But I'll say this is a bold statement, but if you find a scenario where you or someone else is wanting to be more hospitable, but money is the only barrier, come talk to me about it. And I'd be willing to put church finances behind fixing that problem. I don't want to, we're very thoughtful about how we spend the money at the church, because every cent we want to be accounted for to the Lord. Hospitality is obviously really important. So I don't want to just throw around money aimlessly. But if we have a specific situation where the difference between hospitality or not is some money issue, come talk to me and I'll see what we can do. That goes for anybody if that's the only thing holding you back. Yeah.
We had a couple years ago that somebody new would come to the church and they, meet them, and they would actually invite them to go to lunch with them. Now, it wasn't, I said, you do that? If there's anybody new, they were the first ones to. And she said, well, we don't take them out till 3 kids. She had 5 kids. So, and they, a busy place, but they would invite them to their home.
Yeah, you don't have to go out to eat. You can go home and cook for people. Yeah, that's probably even better.
Yeah, she said, whatever we're having, that's what we had.
Yeah.
And it made a difference, and I saw them bringing people together.
Cool. All right, we're going to talk much more about it this whole month, but, think through... Think through this critically, and I'm excited. Let's grow as a church. Father, thank you for this evening and for your word, and thank you that you guide us in how to grow and how to demonstrate your love and how to minister to people and how to grow as a church and as individuals. And we pray that you guide us in the topic of hospitality and show us what you're actually calling us to. Let this be very positive, nothing with guilt or shame, just us learning how you're calling us. And we put this in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.